sing is Molly. Wherever they come, the world keeps revolving. They say the next big thing is here, that the revolution's near. But to me it seems quite clear that it's all just a little bit of history repeating.
Oh, and welcome to a brand new week. It is Nicole Sandler here on Air America Radio. Welcome to it. Thank you for joining me. We are broadcasting live on Air America Radio, the stations that carry us. We are live on the Internet at airamerica.com. Why am I hearing myself coming back? Hold on a second. You know, technical problems right from the get-go. All right, that's gone now. And we're doing the Ustream thing, too. So if you really want to see me sitting in my home studio, talking, yeah, more power to you. RadioOrNot.com is my blog, and there's a link from there to both the audio stream and the video stream. We got a chat going. We got phone lines open. It is going to be an interesting night tonight. Now, yes, I know it is Martin Luther King Day. And all day long we've been hearing excerpts from speeches, and it doesn't get much better than that. But we also have a major event happening in this country tomorrow that has so much bearing on our future, where we go from here. I thought I was going to play some excerpts from some of Martin Luther King's speeches. But you know what? I'm going to save that for another day. And I know you've heard it on other shows and you've seen it on TV. Tonight we are going to deal a lot with the election that's happening tomorrow in Massachusetts. It's a special election to fill the seat that Ted Kennedy held for the last 46 years that actually had been held by someone with the name of Kennedy for well over 50 years. Massachusetts, always considered a very blue state. And of course, it is New England, which is pretty liberal, as is most of the Northeast. We overwhelmingly elected a Democratic president in November, right? And we got a supposedly filibuster-proof majority in the Senate, an 80-seat majority in the House. With those kind of numbers, well, the Democrats should be able to ram through whatever legislation they wanted. Because, after all, that's what the people voted for, right? Yeah, we should have had no problem, like massive, true health care reform, immigration reform that was fair, climate change reform that, you know, would help the environment, things that would help the people of this country. With those kind of numbers in Congress and the White House, it should have been really easy to get good legislation through, right? So here we are, November of 2010. Came and went. Sorry, it's not November anymore. It's now January of 2010. Sorry about that. It's an election coming up, so I think November. January of 2010, almost to the day, a year after the president was inaugurated. And we are looking at a special election in Massachusetts to fill that seat, Ted Kennedy's seat. And I guess the Democrats didn't worry about it because they thought, hey, no problem. It's Massachusetts. We got this in the bag and nothing to worry about. Well, all of a sudden, here comes Scott Brown. Good-looking guy. I'll give him that. I don't think there's much else there. But I think the Democrats in power underestimated the American people, because what they gave us is not what we voted for last November. We have not gotten the change we voted for. We have not gotten the, in the health care bill that is inching its way ever closer to completion, we certainly haven't gotten what we, those of us who came out in droves and worked our butts off to get Barack Obama elected president, not what we thought we were going to get. In fact, what we're seeing is a lot of Democrats who look an awful lot like Republicans. And so the massive numbers of people who came out and voted last November, many of them just either don't care or are saying, where's the change that we could believe in? Not seeing it. And here we are the day before this special election in Massachusetts, and it is so close. Too close to call. In fact, many of the polls have Scott Brown up over Martha Coakley. Now you think, okay, well, it's going to come down to the wire. At least we know we can trust the voting machines, right? Wrong. Because in this country, for some reason, we don't vote with paper ballots. We don't hand count our votes. We leave that to what the Republicans like, the private sector. Yes, they like private companies not only building and selling the voting machines, but owning the proprietary software so that only they can get in there and you know, count the votes and stuff. Therein lies the problem, my friend. So in this first hour, joining us on the phone right now is Brad Friedman. Now, Brad Friedman is the creator and publisher of the Brad Blog. And, the L.A. Times has described him as California's most persistent blogger watchdog on the dangers of voting technology. And sure enough, if you go to Brad Blog right now, bradblog.com, you will find the lead story on the dangers of, what's going to happen in California. Orange alert on Diebold, LHS associates and the vulnerable Senate race in Massachusetts. Brad Friedman, thank you for joining us tonight on Air America.
It's always my pleasure, Nicole. And your opening bumper music there, the history repeating, sent chills down my spine tonight.
And that's why I use it, because we do not learn, do we?
No, we don't. We don't learn. We continue to make the same mistakes over and over again. We're doing nothing about it. The people really don't understand above and beyond, frankly, what's at stake, as you put together there in your opening. I warned about, well, of course, I've been warning for years about these machines, but I put out a very specific warning about what we can look forward to in Massachusetts, who is going to be tabulating these ballots, or perhaps more accurately, who isn't going to be tabulating these ballots. I got a lot of replies back from folks who say, oh, I live in Massachusetts. I always vote on a paper ballot. There's nothing to worry about.
Well, not so much. Not so fast, my friend.
Exactly. I mean, voting on a paper ballot is great. That's half the battle. Now you've got the paper ballot. Now what say we actually count it?
That would be nice.
That's what is not going to happen tomorrow in Massachusetts. That's what's going to not happen at all unless something is done about it, because right now pretty much 90% of Massachusetts is going to be counted by machines made by a company called Diebold. And as if that is not bad enough, those machines up in Massachusetts and for pretty much all of New England, those machines are sold, serviced, and programmed by a company named LHS Associates with an astounding background, which includes narcotics trafficking, opening and changing voting machines in the middle of elections. Well, we've got one of the senior sales directors there admitting, quote, this is on air, he said, we don't follow every little law. These are the guys we're talking about, and people don't understand the not just the dangers of these machines, but they don't understand how they're counted, how easily one person can flip an entire election, change the results of the election without detection, unless you bother to count the paper ballots. And they will not be counting those paper ballots in Massachusetts tomorrow, which should alarm everybody who's listening here tonight.
Now, why won't they be covering counting the paper ballots?
Because they run them through an optical scan machine, and whatever the optical scan machine says is what we all take as the result. The problem is these machines in particular, though all op scans pose these similar dangers, but in specific, these Diebold optical scanners, if you saw the HBO Emmy-nominated documentary, Hacking Democracy,
oh, yeah?
it shows that the climactic final scene, hate to give it away, but these very Diebold optical scan machines are going to be using across all of Massachusetts tomorrow. These are the machines that are hacked for the first time in a live test, right, you know, in the film. And you can see it. You can go to YouTube. You can go to bradblog.com. You can go to Governor Times, where I wrote the article this weekend. You can see this hack, and you can see that they take, in a mock election, 8 paper ballots. They have a simple yes or no question. Can Diebold machines be hacked with their memory cards? We see 6 people voting no, they cannot. Mm-hmm. We see 2 people voting yes. And then those paper ballots are run through that op scanner, and the results are printed out. The results have 7 people saying yes, they can be hacked, and 1 person saying no. They've been completely flipped. And the only way you would know that election was flipped was if you bothered to count those ballots. Mm-hmm. In Massachusetts, they don't count any ballots. They have no post-election audit requirements even. You know, a lot of states do 1 or 2% of their ballots by hand just to make sure the scanners are working. Well, they don't even do that in Boston. So Diebold will be deciding tomorrow's election and whether or not the Democrats retain their 60-vote filibuster-proof majority in the Senate.
Brad Friedman is with us. He is the founder, editor, and publisher of bradblog.com, and he's been covering these problems with voting machines for many, many years now. He knows of what he speaks. We need to take a break here, Brad, but let's come back, and we'll give a little bit of history and talk about, you know, people thought, well, they got rid of the touchscreens voting machines, so we're all good now, right? No, because you still got machines counting the votes. And until we have humans counting paper ballots, and then that can be double-checked by other humans, you really can't trust anything. All right. And we'll find out why this company in particular, LHS, is one to be really wary of. Brad Friedman with us. We'll be right back.
Nicole Sandler.
You're listening to Nicole Sandler on Air America Radio.
We are back with Brad Friedman, the creator and publisher of the Brad Blog, which at Brad Blog, Brad does a lot of other things, but he is the guy I go to who knows pretty much everything about voting machines, voting technology. He's been covering it. He is the go-to guy. So, Brad, for people who don't know, give us the background in 5 minutes of voting machines and the problems with them, and Diebold especially.
Well, in 5 minutes, I'll pick it up in large part from the 2000 election when we had the disaster down there in the state of Florida. And out of that disaster came a bill called the Help America Vote Act of 2002, which mandated some $4 billion for jurisdictions around the country to, quote, unquote, upgrade their voting systems.
Now, I just have to interrupt you for 1 second, because that's so typical of the Bush administration, who named everything, like the Clean Air Act, did anything but clean the air. No Child Left Behind did anything but really help our kids in school. So this is just another one of their ridiculously named bills. But go ahead.
Yeah, which a lot of people have described as the Hack America's Vote Act.
Yeah, there you go.
Because what it did was, it pretty much privatized every voting machine out there in the country to 3 or 4 major companies, the largest of which was was ES&S,
right,
which has just swallowed up Diebold, giving ES&S control of 70 to 80% of the votes cast in America. And that's going to stand unless the DOJ brings a lawsuit, and they've just announced that they are investigating on antitrust grounds, which damn well should.
Well,
and
there's
something. They do.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can't believe I'm fighting to keep Diebold in the voting machine business, but that's what we've gotten to here.
But meanwhile, ES&S was the company that made the touchscreen machines down here in Florida, so thank you very much.
Exactly, the ones where some 18,000 votes disappeared back in that election down in Sarasota, and
that's right.
We still don't know what happened to those 18,000 votes.
Nope.
So you guys in Florida were smart enough to get rid of the touchscreens, and we have to give some credit to Charlie Crist for that, for doing it once he came in.
But he gave us the optical scan machines, which
That's
is what
right.
they have in Massachusetts, and no provision for a recount by hand after the election. Same problem they have in Massachusetts.
It has become illegal in the state of Florida that once a ballot has been counted by a machine, it's actually illegal to examine it by hand. That's how bad it is down there in the state of Florida. And now, of course, up in Massachusetts, as I said before the break, they don't examine those ballots at all. So this was a huge boondoggle, $4 billion to bring in these machines that don't work, and that in the case of the Diebold machine that we're talking about that they're going to be using in almost all of Massachusetts tomorrow, as I said, that's the one they showed in Hacking Democracy, which was a mock election test down in Florida.
Mm-hmm. Ion Sancho, the supervisor of elections down here, who is awesome.
A great hero.
Yep.
A great hero.
He really is.
Because up until that point, nobody was even allowed to do anything, to investigate, to look at, to inspect these voting machines at all. And what they found from that test was that, indeed, these machines violate the federal voting system standards that the EAC, the Elections Assistance Commission, approved these machines, certified them nationally after supposedly testing them. And then we found out that they actually have code on them that is banned and that allows the type of hack that we're talking about that a single person can do and flip an election. We found one vulnerability after another, not just in Diebold's machines, but in all of these machines, but in particular we're focusing on Diebold here, and yet these machines were never decertified. Moving beyond that, you've got a media out there who doesn't bother to report on what's going on. They have people think, oh, if we don't have touchscreens anymore, everything must be safe. They really don't understand what we're talking about.
And that's why we have this conversation, it seems, at every election. Brad Friedman is with us from bradblog.com. We have to take a break here. When we come back, we'll find out, well, so Massachusetts owns these machines, right? They are responsible for it. They're the ones who deal with it all. We'll find out why no, that's not the case. Stick around. Brad Friedman will be back. Don't go away.
Nicole Sandler.
You're listening to Nicole Sandler.
All right, we are back with Brad Friedman. He is the creator and publisher of BradBlog at bradblog.com. And yes, the Los Angeles Times described him as California's most persistent blogger / watchdog on the dangers of voting technology. And you would think, yeah, electronic voting machines, it makes everything easier and better. But the truth of the matter is that we just can't trust them, as we've learned. And Brad kept, he's mentioned the movie Hacking Democracy, which is a brilliant film you should watch if you really want to see why you can't trust these machines. So, Brad, but you would think that once a state buys these voting machines from Diebold or ESNS or whatever company is selling them, that then they own them and they can make sure that everything works the way it's supposed to. But that's not what happens, right?
You would think that, wouldn't you?
You would think.
The problem is that, in the case of New England and Massachusetts here, you've got a company named LHS who does all of the sales, service, maintenance, programming on these machines.
So it doesn't end with sales. Service, maintenance, programming, and therein lies the problem.
Oh, yeah. This company, and really it could be any company, but LHS is particularly bad. But these companies come in, they decide what goes on to those sensitive memory cards. They decide how the ballots are programmed. So even if you've got a machine that works, that's been tested, that everybody has confidence in, you have no idea what goes on in the memory card that is put into those machines that reads the ballots and that tallies the votes. And that's where these things are really the most sensitive. And you've got this company, LHS in this case, which 10 years ago, the marketing and sales director, Ken Hajar, pled guilty to narcotics trafficking. This same fella, Ken Hajar, is the guy who came over to Brad Blog, went off on a tirade, an obscene tirade at times, that resulted in the Secretary of State of Connecticut kicking Ken Hajar out of the state. He's now banned from working there because of Secretary of State Susan Bisewitz saw this rant of his and said, what the hell, you know, get out. Now, the LHS is still in the state, unfortunately, but this guy was gone. As far as I know, this guy is still perfectly allowed to work in Massachusetts, and he has admitted on air, and I'll give credit to our friend Dory Smith in Connecticut of Talk Nation Radio, on air he said, quote, I mean, I don't pay attention to every little law. This is when... This is a direct quote. She was asking him about whether or not he accesses these machines, him and his employees access these voting machines on election day, despite the fact that, oh, it's illegal to do so. And he said, oh, yeah, we carry memory cards and voting machines in our trunks, and if there's any problems, we just come in and swap them out for one that works.
Hey.
Yeah, oy, indeed. Now, to underscore...
That's a technical term.
Yeah, one I'm familiar with.
Yes.
To underscore just how ridiculous this entire system has become, we're talking about a special election tomorrow with one question on the ballot. That is the state senator from Massachusetts. There are three candidates. That's it on the ballot. We could put an end to all of this stuff if at the end of the day we took out the ballots, we sat down at tables, you have videos, cameras running, everybody, the Republicans, the Democrats, there's an independent Liberty Party guy who's by the way, his name happens
Kennedy.
To be Joe Kennedy. Yeah.
Right, which makes it even more, horrible, because there are some people, and I'm sorry, there are a lot of just people who don't pay attention to anything, and they're going to see a Kennedy name on the ballot, and that's the one they're going to pick, thinking they're voting for a Kennedy.
That's right. That's right. But, you know, if they do that in no small part, I suppose they have their own self to blame.
That's right. They deserve what they get.
Well, yeah. And I'm most worried about that whoever the voters decide to vote for. I think it would be a great change of pace if the one who received the most votes actually gets to win the election.
Wouldn't that be nice?
And I think what would further be nice is that for those voters to be able to know for a fact that their candidate either won or lost. And, you know, hand counting these ballots, we're talking about three people on the race. You take them out of the box, you sit down at tables, everybody's watching from all parties, you got video cameras rolling before these ballots leave the precinct, and you separate them into three stacks. That's it. And you count them. And it'll take all of 20 minutes in every precinct in the state of Massachusetts to know who won and to know in such a way that the citizens have overseen their own elections. You have self-governance of the people, by the people, and for the people. And it's a piece of cake. And yet we're dealing with all of these arcane, ridiculous, viruses, voting schemes, software code, basically using a semi-truck to deliver a pizza.
Yeah, you're right.
And the danger is, by the way, the article that I wrote on this, people can read more certainly at bradblog.com, but I wrote a lengthy article at Governor Times of Upstate New York.
Right, there is a link from bradblog.com, because governor is spelt in a British sort of way.
A crazy way, although I'm told that if you do any search for any spelling of governor, you'll probably find it.
But if you go to, just click on Mess I Warned About on Friday, there you go. You're right there.
And, Governor Times is a far right-wing news outlet.
Really?
Yeah. And I couldn't be more delighted that they're paying attention to this issue. They got their ox gored, pun intended, back in November during the special election up there in New York 23, when whole Didi Skosfava, Doug Hoffman, he was the Conservative Party candidate. He seems to have gotten pretty well screwed by the optical scan machines, the new ones that they had just brought into New York that aren't even certified there yet.
Uh-huh.
They're untested. They're made by Sequoia, a company named Sequoia, which is as bad or worse than Diebold. And He conceded on election night when he thought he was going to lose by 5,000 votes. Well, move the clock forward about 24, 48 hours. All of a sudden, they started realizing, well, wait a minute. Why did he receive zero votes in one precinct after another? And they started actually, you know, counting some of those precincts where they had problems by hand, and his margin had decreased to about 2,000 votes. Well, by then, he had already conceded, mm-hmm. so the media had moved on. But it taught these right-wingers a real good lesson that I've been trying to tell them for years. Anybody can get screwed by these machines if you don't count the ballot. So now all of a sudden they're on board for election integrity up there at Governor Times. I'm delighted about it because
you know what? We don't. It's not that we want to see the Democratic candidate win. We want to see whoever got the most votes win. We want to see all the votes counted honestly. Accurately.
You're damn right. And because I'll tell you what, tomorrow night, if it looks like Scott Brown has been screwed by these machines and Coakley ends up winning by a percentage and nobody's counted the ballots, I'm going to be the first guy in line, yelling holy murder about this, because I want those ballots counted and I want to make sure that Coakley really did win. And mm-hmm. for those folks who are partisan out there thinking, well, you know, as long as Coakley wins, that's the most important thing. Think again. We've got elections coming up in 2010.
And in November.
That's right. And then again in 2012. Mm-hmm. And if there are vulnerabilities in these machines that can be exploited and Democrats turn the other way when it happens, well, you know, don't come to me raising holy hell about it this coming November or, you know, November 2012. This has never been about right and left. This has always been about right and wrong, and knowing that the person who got the most votes actually was the winner of the election. It's real simple.
It is real simple. Now, it just so happens that the Democrats have been screwed over so many times on this that we're really sick of it. And, again, being down here in Florida, I'll never forget. It was this whole big thing to get rid of the touchscreen machines, and we heard we were getting optical scan machines, paper mm-hmm. ballots, and we were, okay, good, we got paper ballots. So there's a voter verifiable paper trail, so we thought. And then I was at this event where someone from one of the supervisor of elections office, I think Dade County supervisor of elections, was there with the ballot that the voting machine, so we could test them. Mm-hmm. So I did the thing and I fed it through, and up on the screen it pops, your vote has been registered. And I said, but why doesn't it say which bubble I filled in? And she said, oh, it doesn't do that. And it doesn't do that, as I found in November. It doesn't tell you how it read the ballot. Not even if it did, that's still no proof that it read it correctly.
Right.
But still, I mean, it used to be on the touchscreen things. You don't press the red button until you see all the things, all the buttons you pushed.
Well, although what it showed you on the screen that you pushed has nothing to do with
exactly.
what it actually recorded.
And even if the screen popped up and showed me I voted for candidate X, not Y, doesn't mean that that's what's going to make it onto the little memory card either.
Right.
But still, I mean, there's no checks and balances here.
Right.
Now, what I asked you before the break was, so if the state of Massachusetts owns the stuff, shouldn't they be able to have somebody who works for the state knowing the code and being able to program the stuff themselves?
Well, there's two answers to that. One, these voting machine companies consider these machines to be proprietary property.
Mm-hmm.
So there's only so much they're allowed to do as far as inspection and testing and everything else. That said, even if are you more comfortable if let's use the state of Florida, since that has such a storied history.
Oh, yeah.
Are you comfortable if, let's say, Catherine Harris makes sure that everything is on the up and up before those machines?
And everybody knows Catherine Harris. Oh, yeah, sure, I trust her about as far as I can throw her.
Exactly. You know, it was actually Ion Sancho you mm-hmm. were talking about earlier, the great supervisor
great.
Of election from Leon County, who said to me, Brad, our system is not built on trust. You shouldn't trust me. You shouldn't
yep.
trust anyone. Our system is built on checks and balances.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't have the transparency, you don't have the ability for the citizens to oversee their own elections, You've got nothing. You've got Catherine Harris telling you everything is fine, nothing to worry about. You've got this LHS, drug dealer telling you that everything's fine, don't worry. I'll swap out the cards in the middle of an election, but you can trust me. That's what we're dealing with. That is what we're dealing with, and we will continue to deal with it until the media explains to the people what the stakes are, and until people understand that, yeah, the stakes are kind of high here, and if you think someone would not steal an election in this country, well, I don't know what country you're living in at this rate.
Yeah.
I mean, they really need to understand, and the other thing that needs to happen is the candidates have to learn, do not concede. Make sure that every vote is counted. The only person in these races who can assure that these votes get counted are the candidates who can file for a hand count if they want one. So whoever loses tomorrow night, I will urge them, and I'll urge all your listeners to send mail out to Coakley, to post it on their blogs, to say, Martha Coakley, do not concede. Wait until these votes are actually counted and everybody is able to oversee it and assure that she either won or lost.
You know, then there's also the question of absentee ballots, right? Mm-hmm. And provisional ballots.
Right.
Which, and you know, those don't get counted on election night. Nope. But why can't we do this? In Canada, as somebody in the chat room just pointed out, you know, they count every vote by hand, and they have the results within 3 hours. They split them into groups of 100, and they count them.
Canada has far, far greater technical knowledge than we will ever be able to come up with in the United States, apparently.
I guess.
I mean, yeah, that's exactly it. They do it. Why don't we? Now, a lot of people will, you know, compare to Canada. In truth, Canada has a lot simpler ballots than we do. We tend to have these, you know, 50 items on their mm-hmm. initiatives and everything else.
Right.
So I've called for hand counting ballots, but I've called to do it via pilot programs. In other words, test it out, see how it works, make sure it can be done with the sort of different ballots that we have now in different jurisdictions. I'm not going to be like the voting machine companies and say, oh, trust me, this will work great, let's do this tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
But in the case of Massachusetts, hello, there's one race.
It's one
with
race.
Three people on it.
Yeah.
You know, we cannot count a single race with three people on it in front of everybody at the precincts before those ballots move anywhere so that we can post the results.
Whose call would it be in Massachusetts? The governor?
Probably the secretary of, well, it would probably be the secretary of state or towns. Maybe they're, I'm not sure how they work as far as their rules in each town. But, you know, they can do these hand counts tomorrow as far as I can guess, even as a check and balance against the op scan. Use the op scan totals as your official total,
mm-hmm.
but before you move those ballots, break them out on a table where everyone can see them, separate them into three piles, and there's your election results.
Yeah, there you go.
It really ain't rocket science, yet we have made it be rocket science. I testified to the Elections Assistance Commission about their new technical guidelines, or upgrading their technical guidelines. They've got a booklet that's about 300 pages of scientific jargon, computer science that will make your head spin. Now, I've been a computer programmer for about 10 years of my life. I spent as a computer programmer, so I'm no Luddite. I'm not afraid of technology. But I'm looking at this thing thinking, well, you know, the specs here would be great to get a ship to the moon, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about counting ballots. Get a pen, a piece of paper, a box, and count the damn things. How hard can that be?
No kidding. Brad Friedman, read them at bradblog.com and then and read up all about these Diebold machines and the LHS and everything else on the site while you're there, because there's a lot more than just voting stuff. But the voting stuff, especially today, you got to read. Brad Friedman, always a pleasure. Thank you for keeping us up to date and keeping us informed on what's going on.
I want to point folks to blackboxvoting.org. They've got some tips on actions that people can take tomorrow. And besides that, tell Martha Coakley, do not concede.
You got it.
Thanks.
You so much. Brad Friedman, we'll talk again soon. All right, we'll take a break and I'll be right back.
Nicole Sandler.
You're listening to Nicole Sandler on Air America Radio.